and Joshua most of the time today, will be the majority of our scriptures. And so we'll go from that. So today, I guess my talk is about this. What does God want to do in your life? What does God want to do in your life? If you're here today and you're married, what does God want to do in your life? If you're here today and you're single, what does God want to do in your life? If you're here today and you're a teenager, what does God want to do in your life? Have you ever asked that question? You ever thought about that question? What does he want to do because he made me? What does he want me to do? What does he, because I'm here, what's his plan for me? What's his purpose for me? Whether God takes 2 years to come back, or he comes back tomorrow, or he doesn't come back in our lifetime, God has a purpose for you. It's very specific. When he made you, he had something in mind. He had something that he wanted you to do. He had a place you wanted to be. He made you with the way that he made you. He made he made you the gender that he made you for a reason. He made you who you are because he knew that when he made you, there was something you were supposed to do. That gives me chills, kind of. But it also makes me a little depressed. Because there's so many people that aren't doing what God made them to do. There's so many people are doing what they want to do. They're choosing their agendas. They're choosing their life over what God intended for them. And so thusly, they're having a little bit of a hard time living in this life. And they're confused, and they're angry, and we're mad, and we're just going around going, I don't know, this is what we are, this is who we are, this is what we are. And there's just so much confusion. And God never intended for there to be confusion, especially in the body of Christ. But I believe even in a gathering like this, and those of you that are at home, I believe there are many that are confused and like, I don't know if God can even use me. Why would he want to use me? You know, I don't know if he's real sometimes. You know, that's where some of us live. God wants to use you, church. He wants to use you in a dynamic, incredible way. Look what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:9. This is such a neat little verse. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. It's not just talking about heaven. It's not just talking about when you die. It's talking about right here. You can't even imagine. That's why he gave you an imagination. And most of you don't use it. You don't use your imagination. You let somebody else tell you what to do and how to dress and how to act and what to do. And what's popular and what's not popular and what's everybody else doing. And I need these kinds of shoes and these kinds of pants and these kinds of purses and these kinds of shirts and this kind of clubs and this. And it goes on and on and on and on. One of the greatest gifts God has given you is your imagination. And this morning, I want to challenge you to use it. I want you to think about your life. If you said to God today, truly said to God, and you listened to him and you said, God, I want you to use me. How much different would your life be? How much different would your life be? Think about that. God, I want you to use me. And whatever you want me to do, I'm willing to do it. How much different would your life be? We're going to look at the life of Joshua, a guy in the Bible who shows us how to be used by God. We're going to read Joshua today, and we're going to look at what is going on here. In this, we're going to use this whole book, or the whole chapter, to kind of go back and forth. I'm going to ping pong around a lot. So if you've got your Bible open, just keep it open. But there's several things that he says. I think it's Joshua 11:11 that we're going to start. I think that's next, maybe. Yep, nope, Joshua. We'll start with this. Dump your doubts. I'm going to start. There's four answers in the book of Joshua that says how you can know that you can really be used by God, and if God is using you to do what he called you to do, okay? How do you do that? And so I'm going to pull out the answers, and then we'll read some of the scripture as we go along here. The first one is to dump your doubts. Now, why do I start out with that? I start out with that because most of us have doubts. Today, I want to present to you Rick, who came up here and stood up here. That was a big deal for Rick. That was incredible that Rick stood up here and did that. It was such a neat thing. And do you think it was easy for him to do that? Do you think it was easy for him to get up here and do that? No, it wasn't. But he chose his faith over fear. And he said, I'll go do it. And I was so excited to see that. I see that in so many people's lives. People that are doing stuff that they probably think they can't do. And they do it. And then it's amazing. It's just amazing to see. All week long at camp, I saw that in so many of the kids' lives, and just them doing things. So I was the game guy this week, and so I played these stupid games with the kids. And I had this one game where they all got together underneath there, and I said, I need you to lift that person up in the sky as high as you can. And they go, we can't do that. I said, yes, you can. And then I want you to walk with that person as far as you want. I can't do that. We can't. And they all did it. Mila had a hurt shoulder, and she's sitting there just doing it just like this, and she about killed herself. All these kids are straining, and they get the person up. And then I said, now we're going to do two. We can't do two. Yes, you can do two. And they did two. Walked right out in the dark, and they did, because their doubts, they went over their doubts. They went away from their doubts. Dumb game, silly game. But that's where we all are. We all are at places in our lives where the doubts just come at us and they stop us from doing what God, not just God things, anything our doubts do. And we have got to, and this is the first thing I told Rick when I came in here today, you have got to choose faith over your fear, because that's what doubt is. That's what doubt is every time. Every time you get doubting, there's fear behind it. And so you've got to dump your doubt. And we come up with excuses, and we come up with doubts. And the Bible says in James 1, anyone who doubts is like a wave on the sea that is blown up and down by the wind. And they shall not think that they receive anything from the Lord. That is so, so harsh. If you doubt, don't think you're going to get anything from the Lord. That's why a lot of us are where we're at, because of our doubts and our fears. You're not going to receive anything from the Lord. I'm just who I am. This is what I can't do that. How many of you have been ruled by that so much of your life? And here yet you've been a Christian, and you've forgotten who called you to say, you can do much, much more than what you're doing. But I only think I can do this. That's right. But anyone who doubts is like a wave in the sea, blown up and down by just whatever comes at you. Here's a fear. Oh, I can't do that. Here's a fear. Oh, I can't do that. It's so important to understand what doubt does to us. Don't let Satan take you out before you even start. So many of you have done that. You said, I can't do that. Whatever it is, whatever it is. See, before you can be used by God in any great way, you've got to take the doubt that comes there and you've got to dump it to God. See, Joshua had a doubt problem. Joshua was getting the keys to the kingdom. The whole Ferrari of the Israeli kingdom was given to him because Moses was now going to die. Moses has died, and God comes to him and says, Joshua, I need you to take the keys to the Ferrari, and I want you to take it to the promised land. Dang, Moses was the top of the heap. He had took them all through everything, all the crud in that happened in the captivity, all the way going through the desert. They'd seen Moses time after time. He operated incredible. What are we going to do? Our leader is gone. And Joshua steps up. And the whole book of Joshua is God telling Joshua, dude, I got you. I got you, and I love you, and you can do this. And I want to say that to you today. I want to say that to you today. Some of you that are fearful that you can't do what God wants you to do. You see, Joshua had a doubt problem too. It's just such so much doubt that had come to him. Four times in the first book of Joshua, God comes to him. He says, I need you to be determined, and I need you to be confident. I need you to be bold. I need you to be brave, not because of who you are, but because of who's behind you. Because of who's behind you. Joshua 1:9 says this, be bold and strong. Banish fear and doubt. For remember, the Lord God is with you wherever you go. We forget that, don't we? The Lord God is with you wherever you go. Wherever you are, he's there. You say, yeah, Jeff, what does that mean? What does it mean? It means to get rid of. It means to eliminate. It means to take it out of the way that you think. You say, Jeff, yeah, that's hard. Yes, it is. Because doubt is one thing that many of us go through. But you know what? Why we do it? It's a choice. Doubt is always a choice. Think about it. You have to choose to doubt. What do I mean by that? Every time you doubt, you are choosing to say, I doubt whether God can do what he said he's going to do. Every time. It's a clear choice, just like any other attitude that any of us have. You're doubting God. You're doubting God's ability to show up and to do what he thinks he can do. So what do? We get involved and we try to do it. And when we do it, we fall flat on our face and say, well, God didn't help me there. God didn't do nothing there. See, I don't understand this. Because as Christians, we're told from the time we're little, we're supposed to believe and have a set of beliefs. And these beliefs are supposed to guide us. These beliefs are supposed to take us and get us through this life that we're living. And so what happens is, here's what I don't understand, that people believe their doubts and they doubt their beliefs. What's the logic in that? I want to suggest to you that the other way, that you doubt your doubts and that you believe your beliefs. Believe your beliefs. Now, if you're here today and you don't have any belief, if you have nothing to believe, I understand why you're getting tossed around like the wind. It's easy to get tossed around like the wind if you have no mooring, if you have no anchor. God is your anchor. God's word is your anchor. And if you don't have a belief, then when the Supreme Court comes and does what it just did, and some of you are angry and some of you are happy and some of you don't know what you are, you should know. You should know what you know about this. Now, I understand it's mixed up and there's a lot of layers to this, and I'm not here today to talk about that very much, but I will say this. If you want to talk about it in private, let's talk about it. If you're here today and you're mad because that happened, come, let's talk about it. Let's chat about that. It's not tied to some of the things that people say it's tied to. The Bible says it's a life. It's a life. We have to be very, very careful, church. I understand there's other things behind it, but we have to be very, very aware of our beliefs and what we believe guides us to tomorrow and it guides us through this day. It's time for us to own our beliefs. It's time for you to say, I believe this and nobody's going to change my mind. I don't care if, as for me and my family, we're going to stand with the Lord. And that's where it is coming today, church. Because institutions, churches, people groups are all, their beliefs aren't there anymore. And so when the winds of change come in and say, this happens and this is and this isn't this, and all these things happen, what happens is we just go with it. Okay, the majority says it is, so I'll go with it. And that's not, I know that there's more to it than that. But I want you to understand today, if you don't have a belief about something, when society comes along and says black is white, then you're going to go right along with it too. Be very, very careful. Here's what I need you to listen to, dear church, today. There are some things that cause self-doubt in your life. I understand that. Look, here's a couple of them. When you look at somebody else and you try to compare your life to theirs, you will always get self-doubt. I've talked about this a million times from here. You can't compare yourself to somebody else. If you compare yourself to somebody else, you always lose. Every woman who's ever done it, you lose it all. Look at her. She's got this, and they got this, and they don't need makeup, and their hair is so beautiful, and they don't do anything. And you just, pretty soon, you're eating yourself alive. Self-doubt comes when you compare yourself. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says this. Listen. Maybe. What causes? Did I lose it? Maybe not. Is it not up there, man? Okay, forget it. Here's what it says. I've got it right here. No need to go there. There it is, 1 Corinthians. Nope, that's okay. Nope, you're good. You're good. I didn't put it. It's not you, it's me. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says this. It is stupid to compare yourself to other people. It's stupid to compare yourself to other people. When you start looking around and saying, I'm just this average person, I'm just an ordinary person, you need to understand today, you may be an ordinary person, but God uses ordinary people. He uses ordinary, everyday people. All through the Bible is a litany of people who were screw-ups and mess-ups and just constantly doing the wrong thing, time after time after time after time. And God used them anyway. The church is a story of God using a bunch of bizarre people like you and like me to do what he wants to do in this world. The other thing that causes you to have doubt is to remember the last time you stepped out of the boat, the last time you said, okay, God wants me to do something, or I think I'm supposed to do something, and you step out and you fall. And you fall miserably, and you fail miserably, and you try and you go, oh, that didn't work. So every time you look at your failures, when you look at the way you fail, well, I tried to diet the last time. I tried to lose weight. I tried to quit smoking. I tried to quit cussing. I tried to, you know, go out with girls that don't do any of that. I don't know. I tried to do it, and I failed, so I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm not going to do it anymore. See, that causes self-doubt. So that's where we got to. That's where we've got to come to the second thing that is important when we're talking about looking for answers. We not only do that, but we desire his promise. We desire his promise. That's the second one, Phil. Look for a promise of God. You've got to look for the promises, because if you don't look for the promises, what happens is you forget that God has already promised you. And Joshua, the thing that Joshua knew, if he didn't know anything else, he knew that God had promised to take him into Moses, to take him into the promised land. He knew that. He had been taught that since the time he was a little boy. He'd been taught, if you honor God, if you obey God, you will go to the promised land. And God had promised it to the Israelites. He had promised them this land of milk and honey. In Joshua 1:3, God says this, I promised Moses that I would give you this land, so I will give you every place that you go to be in the land. At the end of Joshua's life, many, many years later, all the way back in chapter 23 in the book of Joshua, we see Joshua saying this, and he says this just as he's about to die. He says this, now my time has come to die, and every one of you knows that God has given you all the good things that he has promised. Every promise he has made has been kept. Not one has failed. That's a pretty cool thing to say in your deathbed, that God has come through with everything that he said he was going to do for you. Ephesians 3:20 says this way, with God's power working in us, God can do much more than anything that we could even think or imagine. See, with God's power in us, there's nothing that can't get done. What does God promise say to us? What does God's promises mean to us today, sitting here in the church, June, whatever it is, 26th, 26th? I lost track of days. I was in camp. We didn't keep track of days. Well, the first is this, is that he promises to give you the strength to do whatever it is you need to do. He will give you the strength to get through whatever it is. Verse 5, no one will be able to stand against you. In other words, what God asks you to do, he gives you the power to do. He gives you the strength to do. There was many times this week as a 63-year-old, I couldn't keep up with those kids in camp. Many, many times. Many times I got out of bed and go, I don't want to get out of bed. I don't want to do anything. I just want to sit in my chair. But I couldn't, and God somehow continued to do it. He promises strength. Two, God promises to give you the completion, or the word we use today, success. He promises to give you that success. Not worldly success, but godly success. Serving him, he doesn't want you to be a failure. God doesn't want any of you to be losers for him. He wants you to be incredible. He wants you, when you say you're going to do something for it, to turn out awesome. So why doesn't it? Sometimes it's because our lack of faith. We don't let God do what he wants to do in us, and we don't let him go far enough. Thirdly, the Bible says he gives us his support. Look in verse 9. He says this, Joshua 1:9, I will be with you wherever you go. See, God's word done his way will not lack God's support. When God asks you to do something, he does it. I come back to this every time that we come to this thought. A couple years ago, before COVID, our church built the hub out there, and I it was a weird timing. Bob and our church, Bob was getting it all the building built out there, and I was like, "What is going on?" It just seemed all the pieces came together. We didn't have to finance it. We paid for it. You guys came together. It all came together, and then what happened? COVID hit. We're going, what are we going to do with this building? And you know what we did? We did what God called us to do. We gave out food. People drove through and got food in a time that was scary and strange and weird. Even if you weren't a little bit concerned, it was a weird time. It was a weird time. At least admit that. And God gave us the support and the funds to do exactly what he wanted to have done. And here we are today using it week after week. And it just, I can't tell you how the stories that and Brandy talked a couple weeks ago about some things going on. I'm going to have her do more of that, because you need to know what God is doing through that little place out there, the 330,000 square feet building, whatever it is. It's amazing. It's amazing what God is doing through that place. But God gives you the plan. He'll give you the support. That's what we need to always remember. Some of you don't have the plan. I understand, because you're not listening for what the plan is. Some of you don't want to hear the plan, or some of you have heard it and you don't like it. I don't want to do it. That sounds hard. That sounds like way out of my comfort zone. You want me to what? You want me to do that? No, not me. Not me. Joshua 1:8 says this, always remember what is written in this book. Study it day and night. Be sure to obey everything that's written there. And if you do this, you'll be wise and successful in everything you do. Man, what a promise that is. What a promise that was to Joshua. What a promise that is to us today. Look at those words, four of them. Study, obey, wise, and successful. Study, obey, wise, and successful. They come in that order. Study, obey, wise, and successful. You got to study the word. You got to obey the word. You got to use the word. Use your noggin. Use what you know together with the Spirit. And then comes completion. The Bible tells us right there that God bases his promises not on success of our ability, but on his ability, on what he wants to do. Joshua's life was one battle after another. When he got the keys to the Ferrari, it was a horrible thing. It was a hard thing. Every day it was a challenge. Every day there was somebody else that was coming after him. Every day the people in the place that he was a part of, they were griping and complaining every day. How do you do that? How do you keep on keeping on when everything around you seems to be falling apart? It was like that with Joshua, and it's like that with you today. Every one of us are sitting here trying to wonder, what are we going to do? You know, how's my 401k looks like, you know, blah. I put gas in my thing, and I have to go get a loan to get it in there. And you're thinking about everywhere you're driving, and you go to the store, and there's a whole row of shelves that have nothing on it, and you want this, and this week that's out, and this week this is out, and you're going, what is going on here in America? What's going on? And so that leads us to number three. You got to lean on the Lord. You got to lean on the Lord. Mark, come here real quick. Come here. Stand up. Come here. I'm going to trust you now. Right here. Come. Turn around. Turn around. Now, don't move, okay? Don't move. I'm leaning on this guy. And what would happen if he'd pull out? I'd fall on my face, right? Is it too heavy? Are you okay? Mm-hmm. Can I spit in your hair?
No.
I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I'm leaning on Mark. Leaning means to put all of your weight, everything that there is on them, and you trust them to hold you up. Thanks, Mark. Give Mark a nice hand. Leaning on the Lord is so important. And most of us, what we do, instead of leaning on the Lord, we go up to Mark and we just put our little finger right here like this. There he is. Poke him once in a while. Touch him. There's Mark. Look. There's Mark. God says, lean on me. Lean on me. Lean on God. You let go of your doubt and you just let God take the consequences. Joshua 1:5 says this. God says, no one will be able to defeat you all your life. And just as I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will not leave you. I will not forget you. That was to Joshua, and that's to you today. I will not leave you. I will not forget you. God has not forgotten you. And God says that to you today. He says, lean on me. A very important question I want to ask you, and then we're running towards close. Here's the question. Who or what are you leaning on for strength? Who or what are you leaning on for strength? If you're leaning on your body, that works until it gets hurt. If you're leaning on your body, if you're leaning on, you know, my body is strong and I can do whatever. But the minute it gets hurt, your health goes away. What happens, Ashley? It's hard, right? It's hard. The minute that something comes at you and takes away a part of your body, you're going through a hard time. And I want you to understand today this, is that if you're leaning on your own understanding, if you're leaning on what you know, and that's all you're leaning on, you're going to fall flat on your face. Proverbs 3 says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. You know what's the problem with crooked paths? It takes longer to get there. Can't see nothing ahead. What is going on? He will make your paths straight. He will make your paths straight. Leaning on the Lord is scary. Leaning on the Lord is some days the hardest thing you'll ever do. It's uncomfortable. Is God going to come through? Is he going to do what he said he would do? Is he going to hold me up? See, that's what faith is. It's learning to lean. It's learning to lean and lean and lean and put all of your weight, all of your cares, all of your burdens, all of your worries on God. That's it. Lastly, once you do that, once you lean on the Lord, it's time to fully lean on Mark, to lean on God, fully lean on him, to launch out, the Bible says. Launch out, step out. And let me talk about this a little bit because it's important to see in that Joshua did. It's important to see if Joshua did it, so can I. There comes a point in your life when you've got to stop talking about it. You got to stop praying about it. You got to stop going to stupid Bible studies that don't do anything except you go there and you study and you go and you forget it. Does nothing if you don't do something with it. Remember? Obey, the obey part, be wise part, obey part, wise. It doesn't do any good to study if you don't have those two other parts. Then we get upset because the success doesn't come, because we've skipped the process, the middle. So you've got to launch out. There comes a point when you got to stop listening to me and you got to start digging yourself. There comes a time when you have to go in and you have to take the Word of God and make it yours and your beliefs yours. There's a time when your mom and dad's beliefs can't be yours anymore. You have to have your own beliefs about the Bible. It doesn't have to be big. But you have to have some faith in your life. I think this will come up. Do we have Joshua 1:10 possibly? Did I put that? Man, I was in camp, so don't hold me responsible this week. Did I have Joshua 1:10? Ah, yes. Here it is, Joshua 1:10. I put it. Then Joshua issued instructions to the leader to tell the people to get ready to cross the river. Here they are coming to another river crossing. Remember, they crossed the Red Sea. They've done that. They've been there. They've done it. They've got the T-shirt. They got everything. They got the mugs. They're all there, and they've already done it. They've seen the waters go whoosh, and here they are at this place, this Jordan River. Not a big river. Most places, it's about 100 feet wide. Most places, about 10 feet. In the deepest place, maybe 20, except in the flood season. Guess when they're there? Flood season. There goes God, allowing them to have a little flood in their life. Here comes the flood, and they're looking at it with their big old bug eyes. Look how big that river is. It's so big. But they forget about their God, how big he is. How are we going to get across? First question out of their mouth. How are we going to get across? How are we going to make it through this? No bridges. No toll roads. No pontoons. I wonder how Joshua is going to get us across this raging river. Let's blow up a bunch of inner tubes. Nope, that ain't going to work. No inner tubes. God says, I'm going to do a miracle, and I want you to, and here's where you got to start living a little bit in these times that we're living in. You got to look for God to do the miracle. Look for the miracle, big ones and small ones. 17 miles up the river, the Bible says, God dammed up the river. God dammed up the river, water stopped, raging rapids, not the ride at Kings Island. The raging rapids is just coming, and it stops. And these dumb people who have been doubting and asking, how are you going to do this? And already been through the Red Sea, saying, oh, look, he did it again. And it didn't happen. And this is what's important. I think I might have put this too. If you wait for perfect conditions, you'll never get anything done. Isn't that a good verse? If you wait for it to be perfect, you're never going to. Well, when the kids get bigger, we'll do this. When the kids get older, we'll do this. But when the kids get out, when we get this much in our retirement, we'll do this. Then I'll serve God when I do this. No, never comes. I didn't put it. So here, let me go back to my notes. So let me find it. So they part. He's getting ready to part, he's got the sea dammed up, and right, the Bible says that the first thing God says, he says, get all the spiritual leaders. So all the tribe elders, they all get up in front, and they go first. They go first, and he said, the water's still coming. He said, just keep going. So they went out, and they waited, and they waited, and they waited, and the water's still coming, and people see the leaders out there in the water. They see the leaders taking the step. They see the leaders going out, and they're going, oh, I guess we're supposed to go too. So everybody follows, and all of a sudden the water stops. Water stops. And I want to draw at this point, and I want to talk to some people here today. If you're a leader, you need to hear this. Some of you dads need to hear this. You're the leader in your house. You have to stop letting other people dictate spiritually what goes on in your house. Some of you people need to stop letting mama make all the choices, the spiritual choices. I'm not going back to the caveman thing here. Trust me, I'm not. What I mean by this is, that, men, you need to say, here's the spiritual direction, and honey, this is the direction. Do you think this is the direction? Let's pray about it, and let's go that direction. I want to talk to some of the life group leaders in here. You're a leader. You need to wade into the water some. You know, it's funny. I tell a tale on Rick. Rick and I have been talking a little bit about just getting more in the water a little bit, and Rick today did. And a couple months ago, I said, Rick, yeah, I want you to think about doing a life group. Okay. He's praying about it. I think he's going to come fall. It's probably one of the things that's some of the rest of you should think about too. You need to step out. You need to be a leader. And what happens is when you lead, other people say, okay. But you got to know what you believe when you step out. If you don't know what you believe and you step out and they're saying, why are you doing that? Because pastor told me to step out. Well, that's stupid. That lasts about 6.3 seconds and then it's gone. So I want to challenge you guys, anybody that's a leader in any capacity, at your work, here at church, club, whatever you do, lead. Lead by faith. Faith over fear, even in your work. Well, nobody else is doing it, then you continue to do it. But I'm putting myself out. Put yourself out there. See what God does. So the last question, we're done. What is your Jordan River? What's your Jordan River today? What is stopping you from going the place that God has called you to do? He's called you to be useful. He's called you to use you. He's called you to do something for him. What is stopping you from doing it? Think about that. I'm going to ask the band to come. I want to read to you Ecclesiastes 1:4, 11:4. It was up on the thing. One more time. If you wait for perfect conditions, you'll never get anything done. Please remind yourself of that. That stops so many of us from doing what God calls us to do. I'm so busy, it's summer right now. I'm so busy, it's school right now. I'm so busy, it's Christmas right now. I'm so busy, it's the first of the year and I got taxes. It's so busy, I got all these spring things to do. And then it's like, oh yeah, I just busied out the whole year. I just negated everything that I was gonna do. That's right, I would cry too. Let's pray. That was perfect timing. I couldn't have bought that. All right, let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for your word. And even though I probably messed it up a little bit today, I just pray that you'll take what you said and you'll drive a stake in the sand And then, God, we'll drive our stake beside yours. And then we'll go a little bit further tomorrow and a little further the next day. God, I know you're calling some people in here to do much, much more than they're doing. I don't mean just mean at church. I mean in their spiritual life. That there's people here that are not taking care of their prayer life. They're not taking care of reading the Bible. They're letting somebody else do that, and they're lazy. And God, we're wondering why you're not being successful in our lives. We're wondering why you're not doing what you said you were going to do. But God, let us not forget our part to study, to obey. Then comes wisdom. Then comes wisdom. So God, if there's one in here today that needs you, maybe they don't know you, maybe there's one here today that needs to return to you, use these next few minutes to speak to their hearts, speak to their spirits. You do a work in them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can stay seated, please.
I surrender, Lord, to you I freely give, and I will ever love and trust him. In his presence daily live, and I surrender. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender
surrender all. I surrender.
thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender.
God wants to use you, and I pray that this week that you'll really look at that phrase, God, here I am, use me, and whatever you want to do, I'll do it. Whatever your area it is, I'll step out. I'll lean on you. Faith over fear. Faith over fear. Thank you so much. A couple things that didn't make the news before I turn it over to the news. The hub shirts, I think, need to be taken. Are they still out there, Brandy? The hub shirts are out there. If you ordered one, please share and get one. Wanted to pray for the Mark and Shelley. They lost a real special family member yesterday, and you talk to them. And if you have a pet and you know your pet is a big part of your life, it's huge. You know, those of you that have pets, you understand that. So our hearts go out to you today too. I think, is there anybody else that has anything before I turn it over to the news? To the news? Nothing. Okay, here's the news. All right. What do you think, guys? Anything? Okay, let's shut it off. I got it. Here we go. Listen, I got him. I'll try to remember. If you are 55 plus, be sure and come out and sign up today. We're going to the Copper Kettle on Wednesday, and then we're going to Candleworks. That's a 10 to 5 this Wednesday. Be sure and sign up. Today is the last day. I need to know how many vehicles we're taking. Also, if you are in the Family Fun Day manager, we're having a meeting back in the back about 10 minutes after service today. Meet in the green room. That just for our September 10th Family Fun Day. If you would like to go to some free fireworks put on by our resident Pyro, Yancey and Bob are up in Greenwood tonight working on a fireworks show at Greenwood Bible Baptist. I don't know what time it is, Judy. What time is it? No idea, Judy? No idea. It's tonight at dark, so it's on Sheik Road, and that's all I'm going to tell you about today. God bless you. Here's the band to take us out. Have a good day.
God, I'm running for your heart. I'm running for your heart. Till I am a soul on fire, Lord, I'm longing for your ways. I'm waiting for the day when I am a soul on fire. Till I am a soul on fire.